it's about that time. And so I'm gonna go ahead and do the late night ramblings and deep thoughts for tonight. It's not that late night because I have something to do tomorrow. But it is, yeah. So, let's get to it. This first prompt is like, what would you like your book to say about you? And you know, I don't know. Not really. Because, I mean, I have an idea, but I can't get the thought out of my head that I don't think anyone would write a book about me. Yeah. But, if there was to be a book about me, I'd want it to tell the truth. But not the truth, like, every tiny little detail, but, you know, just an honest way of depicting who I was or who I am. I always imagine that if there was a book that was published about me, I'd be dead, when it came out. Honestly, I'd rather be either dead or really old when a book came out about me, because I am so young. I don't think that would make any sense to put out a book when I'm still so young, you know? What's the point? People grow and change constantly, and that would render the book obsolete, because it would no longer be a full story of a person. It would just be like, well, I'm this age and this is how I am now. And unless I intended on publishing books every, like, 15 years or so to keep up with who I am. Just doesn't make any sense. Speaking of, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but the point is, I think that would be silly. I don't know what my voice is doing. I feel like I sound weird. But hopefully you don't mind, because it's not changing anytime soon, this recording. It's just gonna happen. Or maybe I could have one of those books, that is not one person wrote it, but, it was a compilation of interviews of people I know talking about me. I feel like hearing about me from different perspectives would help a reader form their own opinion about me. Much like you do in real life. And I think I didn't really answer the question. I really didn't answer the question. Let me get to it. I think I'd like it to say that I was loved, and that I had a lot of love to give. And that I liked to help people. I don't know what my life is going to be. I don't know if I live enough right now. But in the end of it all, I'd like someone to say in a book about me that I am. I didn't leave things worse when I left them, you know? I want to be one of those people who leaves things better, you know? Yeah, you know. Like, make someone smile, clean up a mess, show them a good show, you know? When I say show them a good show, I mean, like, introduce them to something that they might not know. For me, I always get excited when I introduce people to Broadway shows. So that's what I mean. I'm a dork. and that's okay, but it's true. I am. I don't think I'd want my book to be very long. I'd want it to be kind of short. Not short story short, but short enough that people are left wanting to know a little bit more about me. I think that I have the tendency to throw up the mind when I meet someone who I think could be my friend. I tend to talk a lot, but not much about myself, really. Just stuff. And I think I'd like to keep that in the book. I'd like it to say a lot of stuff, but not really outwardly just like say stuff about me. I think I'd want it to be a little bit more difficult for readers to decide what they think of me. I wouldn't want to just hand it to them on a silver platter. This is my life we're talking about. I'd want it to be, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, complicated than just some person saying, she was this, she liked this, she felt this way about that thing. Sounds boring, doesn't it? I don't know. All in all, I don't think I would like a book published about me. Like I said before, not until I'm dead or something. I would feel so self-centered if I had a book about me. I really would. I'd feel like I hadn't earned it. I'd feel like I wasn't important enough. I'd feel like, what in the world? It's just another person with another book. Lately, people have been coming out with books like crazy. And I think it's silly to put out books when you're so young. But I don't know. This was a weird answer. Sorry if it isn't what it's supposed to be. Yeah. Moving on. What's next? Music. I have so much to say. No. So much to say. I've been singing since I was like, maybe a little younger, and I don't remember a time when I haven't sung or had something to obsess over when it comes to music and theater. I can't really accurately describe what it does for me. I feel really bad because I feel so strongly about it. And words are failing me. They really are. Look, I'm just going to focus on musical theater because I know that not many people enjoy it as much as I do, but that is one of the most, that was one of the things I'm most passionate about. So I'm going to talk about that. And hopefully you get a sense of it. Cool. So I have been in several musicals in my life. I was in, I don't know, I think I was in Guys and Dolls. And that was my very first official musical. And I played a gangster. And I also played Lieutenant Brannigan. And I was horrible. I was awful. And I was awful because Lieutenant Brannigan isn't supposed to laugh or smile when he is interrogating Nathan and all that. And I can't help but laugh or smile. I couldn't be serious. I was a terrible actress, so I just had this constipated look on my face the whole time. And yeah, but I had a lot of fun. And then in high school, I was in several plays, just a couple plays, but I was in Seussical, Into the Woods, Little Women the Musical, and I feel like there was one more. And then over the summer, I did a couple. I did Hello Dolly and Les Mis. In Les Mis, there was this song. I don't know how many people actually saw the movie or whatever, and or they were in it, or they just loved the show. But Look Down, that was my favorite song. That was my favorite song because in this particular production, we had real bread, and we would have really long hours for rehearsal, especially towards the end. And towards the end, we would use the real bread, and we'd get to eat real bread on stage because we were begging. And the amis, the friends or whatever, they were walking around and they were passing out bread to the poor. And I was like, I was so excited because I got to pretend that I was sad and crying. And I got a lot better since Guys and Dolls at looking sad. Although not much when it came to when my friends were there. I'm more of a singer than an actress, but I think I'm getting a little better. And most recently, I was in Hairspray as an understudy for two characters, two of the Dynamites. The Dynamites are like the group of three girls who sing Welcome to the 60s, and they have like identical hair and sparkly dresses, whatever. I never got to wear a dress. I was just backstage for 3 months, learning their parts in case there was ever a moment where they couldn't perform. Luckily, they were able to perform every time. I was a little sad that no one ever got to see all the work I did. But at the same time, that's what understudies are for. And it's a bit of a hard lesson, really, if you aren't used to it. I was a little sad that I didn't ever get a costume. I wasn't even ever fitted. So I know I was thinking, I was like, really? So what happens if something does happen? Because you never even measured me. And my size is not even close to their size at all. So I was a little nervous. But anyway. And through all that experience, I connected so much to the people in the musicals, right? And that's just the musicals I've personally been in. But what's odd is the things I've never been in, the things that I just sit in my room and dream about, they touch me so much. For example, I remember vividly my first movie musical. That wasn't Disney or anything, because we all know Disney is movie musical king. But I was sitting on the floor, and I was young, and I was eating a plain bagel with plain cream cheese, and I didn't like the bagels toasted when I was a kid. And I was watching An American in Paris, starring Gene Kelly and Leslie Caron. And Leslie was beautiful. She's French, right? So she had that great accent. And Gene Kelly was just Gene Kelly. And his swooning smile when he was singing about how much he was in love with, what was her name? Lisa. How much he was in love with Lisa. And His tap dancing just enchanted me so much. And oh my gosh, the ballet at the end. Look, if you've never seen An American in Paris, the ballet at the end is timeless. It's so beautiful. And the music of George Gershwin is timeless to me too. Seriously, I would be so happy if someone would just cuddle up with me and watch An American in Paris with me and let me sing all the songs and not get annoyed. Musicals have a way of just capturing a moment, a feeling, a relationship, and just putting it all in 3 to 10 minutes of music. I like other forms of music too, but there's just something about a musical theater song. Like, how else would you have a song about being married and the guy who you're married to doesn't love you anymore, and you're wondering, how long has this been going on? When did you stop loving me? There's a song about that. It's called Dividing Day. And I'm pretty sure it's from Light in the Piazza. And it's beautiful. Or what if you want to sing a song about getting that job or making that part in whatever? There's a song for that. It's called So Much Better, and it's from Legally Blonde, the musical. Yes, there is a Legally Blonde, the musical, and I believe it's better than the movie, personally. And I know that's not really nice because it's based off the movie, but I can't get enough of the numbers and everything. And yes, I watched it illegally on YouTube. It was great. It was awesome. There's songs about literally everything. Because there have been so many musicals made, there's a song about literally everything, any emotion, you know, lust, jealousy, elation, greed, and yes, this includes Disney songs too, but like, while you can have songs that aren't musical theater that, you know, relate, it's someone else writing, right, for them, and that's great, but for musical theater, someone wrote for a character, you see? And because they wrote for a character, if you identify with the character, you can easily identify with a song. And just as in other songs, like, you can identify with a song, even if you're not quite sure what the person was thinking themselves when they wrote it. The thing is, with musical songs, you know exactly what the person singing the song, the character singing the song, is thinking and feeling because they are literally singing their thoughts and feelings, period. I guess I like the transparency of that. It makes it so much easier to relate. And while you can find a song that fits you, I know we all have those songs that just fit us. We kind of have to go searching for it, right? You know? What I love about the world of musicals is that when you're singing your song as a character in a musical, you're not looking for someone else's words as that character, or when you're pretending to be that character among your room, I don't know. The words are coming from you. Your heart creates the music. And I think that's beautiful. And so I sing all the time. I sing when I'm mad. I sing when I'm happy. I sing to feel less alone. I just can't get enough of it, and I don't know if this made any sense or if it was stupid, but I hope this sort of helps explain more of what I feel when it comes to music. And to people who think, oh, well, musicals are just stupid. Who sings, you know? Instead of talking. To me, I think, why wouldn't you enjoy having something so transportive in your life? Why wouldn't you enjoy having just random, beautiful dancers just perfectly in sync with each other? Why? It is not supposed to be like reality. It's supposed to be something better. And that parallel universe-y quality of musicals is part of why I love them so much. Probably why people get annoyed when I try and turn real life into a musical. Oops. Oh well. Let me move on. This one's about laughter. So, I laugh a lot less than I used to. I smile when I used to laugh. I don't know. I find a lot of things amusing. But a lot of times it's just that it's amusing, it's not funny, you know? But one thing that makes me laugh is people. People make me laugh. I think that life is hilarious. Seriously, like, I could be just watching people in a restaurant or something, and the way a person is wearing their hat could make me laugh. I don't understand. I'm very easy to laugh. I just find, like, everyone should find something interesting, uncanny, and silly in life. Jokes, they make me laugh sometimes. When people are trying far, far, far too hard to get me to laugh, it always makes me laugh. Especially when I'm not in a good mood and someone's trying to make me laugh. If they're silly enough, I will laugh. I can laugh at anything, seriously anything. Unless, of course, you know, it's like any type of, you know, off-color joke, they call it. I can't stand those. Those aren't funny. So anything that's genuinely funny makes me laugh. But I don't laugh that often, all the same. Not as much as I'd like to. Let me think. I especially love wit. Wit makes me happy. Witty things make me want to just be around those people forever. Like, there's this guy, an acquaintance of mine, who always managed to make me laugh, and he was just so full of surprises with the way he talked and the way he found humor in things. He was just always so full of surprises. I was like, let me never be away from you because you're such a fun person. So, a sense of humor is really important to me. Of course, there's a difference between humorous and goofy, but we all know that. Yeah. I think humor is great. No one wants to be around a stick in the mud. I have such an interest in people who laugh at things that you wouldn't expect to be funny. I think that's because I do that sometimes. It's fun. The people who pay attention to the little things and find that fun, I like that. Alright, I think that's my briefest answer. So, the last point. About stargazing. Well, if I was at camp like I normally am during the summer instead of here, I would be gazing under the stars right now. When I was at camp, there was this one night where the couple who was in charge of taking care of the garden took my group and myself and the other counselor into the field, and he had this little handkerchief that had all the constellations on it. It was actually really cool. And we all laid on our backs and looked up at the stars. And because it was away from technology and away from the city, the stars shone so brightly. And I could see so many more. And it was so beautiful. Whenever I look up at the sky and the stars, there are several things that I always think. Every time. And I can't help it. The first, I always think, where's the North Star? Where's Orion's Belt? Where is the Big Dipper? And sometimes I find them, sometimes I vastly disappoint myself and I don't. And then I think to myself, this line, and I don't know who wrote it, but it surely was not me, I think. Diamonds on black velvet. Diamonds on black velvet. That's something that I always think about when I look up at a starry sky, because to me, that line I must have read one time describes perfectly what the sky looks like to me. I think about the world. I think about, you know, how vast it is and also how small it is. I think about the interesting, weird, confusing thing that is being alive, and I wonder if I matter in the grand scheme of things. I wonder if I matter at all. I think about the different constellations, and I try and remember the backstories to some of them, like the story of Orion, which I can't remember, the story of the little Big Dippers. You know, in mythology, the reason there are constellations at all is because the gods hung the image of people they never wanted to forget, events that were important. They hung them in the sky. And so sometimes I wonder if I would be worthy enough to be hung in the sky. Nah. But it's fun to think about it. I do the whole A Beautiful Mind stick with connecting the dots with stars to make new constellations. I'm quite good at it. I think about how the sky, at least at camp, looks like it's domed in. It's like a dome, and I think if I fly high enough, I might be able to break through it, sending shards of night falling down to the earth. That's silly. I think about how much being under the open sky feels like being underwater. So much space above you feels like you're being pressured by the air itself. I wonder what it would be like to have someone look at me with as much interest as I look at the stars. Oh man, that's cheesy. I try and count stars, and I'm perfectly fine when I realize I can't. It never disappoints me. It makes me very happy, actually. I always wonder if I'm going to see a shooting star. I did see one once, but I think it was too short-lived, in my opinion. And yeah, I imagine that I would like to one day share a night like that with someone I care about, so we could both look up at the stars and not need to say a single word. Just, you know, the warmth of a person next to you, the stars and the silence. That's what I'd like. Anyway, that's pretty much it. And now I kind of miss camp because the sky looks so different there than it does here. I hope you enjoyed it. It was fun to do, but I feel like I didn't make sense at all through the whole thing. I promise when I'm less tired, I'm much more eloquent. That's about it. I hope you liked it. I think I already said that. Oh my gosh, I am so tired. Sorry. Okay, I'm gonna say goodnight now.